Welcome to this special episode of Northern Goal, the football podcast from the Evening Express and Press and Journal. I'm Ryan Crile, and today I'm joined by Highland sports writer Andy Skinner. But we're not alone. Making time for us in the midst of what must not only be a typically busy pre-season schedule, but also probably a pretty bizarre pre-season schedule, is Ross County manager Stuart Kettlewell. How are you, Stuart?
All good, Ryan. All good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, obviously, we want to know what this pre-season's like at the moment. I'm imagining it's taking a bit of time to get used to.
Yeah, I think we've been very proactive as a football club. I've kind of said that since announcements were made last Wednesday, I think it was actually. And I think from our point of view, it was always going to be this new norm that we keep speaking about. It was always going to be a scenario whereby none of us had seen this before in terms of the COVID situation. And it was simply just a point of view from us. We were desperate to get the players back in on Thursday, get them back out on the pitch. And from there, it was that sort of trial and error. We realised that we had to follow this safe protocol, which we believe we've done and can probably expand on that as we go along. But from our point of view, it was simply just to make sure that we were able to start back at the earliest opportunity. And I think ourselves and Celtic were the first two teams on the grass. I know there's not any medals that are handed out for that, but I think it was just literally for the aspect of getting our players back incorporated into a sort of a normal football environment, albeit from a social distancing aspect and 2 meters apart. But it's been good. We've had three sessions with our guys so far, and everything's went really, really well. We've had sort of one round of official testing today, one sort of dummy run with the testing, and we feel as if we're in a reasonable position for that as well. And we acknowledge the fact that we're going to have to be pretty cute. We're going to have to be fairly proactive as time goes on and see how we incorporate the timescale that we have and incorporate the government legislation. How can we factor that into a football vehicle, if you like? How do we operate that for the next 7 weeks or so until the beginning of August, where hopefully we start our new league campaign?
So, as you said yourself, we'll probably come round and round back to what training looks like in this coronavirus crisis. But first of all, I want to touch on, obviously, there was a much publicised restructuring at Ross County announced last week with your co-manager, Stephen Ferguson, moving upstairs in the chief executive role, and you bringing in a couple of guys to assist you on your coaching team as this a sole manager now. How long have you known that was coming, and can you give us some background into why it was deemed something that was the next step for Ross County?
I can be honest again, it's not been a really long period where we kind of knew that this was coming. I think the COVID situation has obviously had an impact with every football club. I think what we felt we had to do as a football club was sort of streamline our organisation, our setup, our structure to ensure that we're in line with how you'll see most clubs in the Premier League in Scotland operating. And obviously, as a result of that, Stephen has now become chief executive and has that sort of overarching role, will be in charge of every department at the football club and that connection between ourselves and the chairman. And I don't think that there's anybody better suited in the sense that Stephen has had such a hand in the football club from different roles and knows pretty much the running of the club on a day-to-day basis and has fantastic people skills and will be able to relate to all factors of the football club. And obviously that means that there's a restructure with the football department as well. And a big factor for us in that is the chairman's been brilliant for me, and I have to say that pretty openly, that he's been absolutely brilliant with me, because been given an opportunity to become a manager as a co-manager, which we believe was a really successful period for the football club, and we reached every goal that was set of us, myself and Stephen. But he's given us an opportunity to develop as individuals. He realises that we know the football club, that we're completely invested in the football club, and he's always had this idea of having Ross County people, so to speak, and it's kind of that Liverpool boot room mentality where people know the football club, they're able to incorporate that sort of characteristics of someone that knows what's happening at the football club to the players and the staff. And obviously, from my point of view, looking at Richie Britton and Don Cowie, I'm able to bring in guys to work really closely with me that have a real affinity with the football club as well, and will give absolutely everything they have to ensure the success of Ross County. So massive praise goes from me to the chairman and allowing us to do that. But also from our point of view, I'm pretty certain that everyone will know how much we've put into the football club in a variety of roles and over a large period of time. So we believe that we can be people that ensure that we can write the next chapter, hopefully, in success at Ross County. In my 10 years, pretty much to the day here, it's been an incredible journey. Roy talks about the 25 years that he's been on a journey with the football club, but for me personally, 10 years, you look through the achievements, the successes, couple of failures in there as well, and that's all part of the learning curve. But when you look at what's happened in this sort of whirlwind 10 years at Ross County, it's been incredible. But we've actually had a sort of socially distanced team meeting with every area of the football club today. Everyone that's not on furlough has been in and had a conversation with the chairman about how we move forward and about coming together to make sure that we can try and write this next chapter that we speak about in the club's history. And it's something that I'm excited about. I know it's something that everybody at the club's excited about. I watched the players on the pitch the last couple of days. You can see that they want to be a part of it. And it's not going to come easy to us. None of the successes have come easy in the last 10 years. So there's going to be an incredible amount of work that goes into that. We speak about the structure of the club. That's one element. But we believe that is the best function to allow us to hopefully go and maximise the resources that we have at the football club in the coming seasons.
Stuart, obviously the new structure has only been in place for a week or so, but you know, when you talk about, you know, just that deep understanding that, you know, all the guys have of the club and you know everything to do with Ross County, you know, has that really helped you to sort of hit the ground running with the new team?
Yeah, I think it has, Andy. I think my relationship with Stephen, as you well know, having dealt with us over the last couple of years with two press conferences a week, our relationship has been absolutely brilliant, and that's been something that we've had for a number of years, and it's even dating back to me being a player and Stephen being first team coach, assistant manager at Ross County. We've always had a bond and we've always had a relationship, and that sort of, in my opinion, that thrived, that flourished over our tenure as co-managers. So that stays in place. We both know how to function together. We both know how to work together. And Stephen will be a huge hand in the football department as well. There'll be various elements that he'll take a focus on. It won't involve being out in the pitch. It won't involve picking a starting 11 on a Saturday, but we're really comfortable with it, and I know Stephen's excited and has been really proactive in the last week that you touched on, Andy. He's been really proactive to make sure that he's trying to get his best foot forward and get his feet under the desk and do the role to the best of his ability. And with regards Richie Britton, Richie was my captain at the football club for the period of time I played here, somebody that, again, I have a real close bond with, real trust in, which is important in football. And he's a very good coach. Richie's an excellent coach. So I was delighted to have the opportunity to ask him to become assistant manager. And Don, I haven't known for as long a period of time, just through, obviously, Don playing his trade down in England. But the one thing I know about Don is he, in the same mould as Richie and Stephen, he's an incredibly trustworthy guy. He's someone that you can hang your hat on. I know he's a very good coach. I've watched him working with our under-18s guys over the last season or so. And you listen to him and you speak to him as a senior player and almost that kind of father figure in the dressing room, as he has been. So the progression for him has been natural. And to add to that, we believe we've got a group of other backroom staff. We are less in numbers due to the kind of COVID situation. So we acknowledge that fact. It's not been an easy time for any of the football clubs. And I dare say you'll see some other announcements with clubs where the personnel decreases. But the other people, the other staff that we have here, I know that they certainly have my back, and I know that they've got great expertise in their individual fields, and that's something that I'll be tapping into, because, again, I stress, I believe I'm fairly humble in this job, that I don't know the answers to absolutely everything, and there's going to be an incredible amount of trust in from myself to my staff to ensure that we can we can forge forward with Ross County and we can give the best version of ourselves that we possibly can.
Stuart, so at this point in pre-season, I imagine you'd usually have, well, maybe in the olden days, maybe now even, you'd have the whole squad together doing punishing runs up sand dunes or whatever it is to get them fit for the new campaign. Just how different is this pre-season so far? What are the sort of drills that you're able to do with the players? What aren't you able to do with the players?
No, it's a good question, Ryan, because it's a completely different outlook for us in what we can do, the parameters in which we can work within. I think in the past, probably myself and Stephen over the last couple of years have had a principle of working with a football, you know, so there's not been too much in the way of punishing runs. We feel as if our players report back for pre-season in great condition, and that's exactly how it's been again this season. The guys have come back from day one there and they're in great condition. There's been a lot of work that's went in over the last 13, 14 weeks from them individually. I would say that they're much more educated all year round in how they should take care of themselves and how they look after their bodies. So from that point of view, a lot of our approach in the last three sessions that we've had has been very much scientific in this sort of best practice, incorporating various movements that they're going to get into, hopefully when we get to the stage of going into group practice. And it's been very much in a controlled environment. So we have the fortune of having the GPS systems, which most clubs in the Premier League now have. So there's a fair amount of emphasis goes on. We know the type of high intensity running that we should be doing. We know the amount of accelerations, decelerations we should be looking for. And we know the kind of overall distance that we're looking for players to hit within training sessions, and we can control that in those individual bases. We're talking about working in these training zones. So I think just to give you a picture of it, the first set of three sessions have roughly been incorporated in a sort of 18 by 40 sort of rectangle that the players are working within, and we've had a variety of scenarios and what they've been asked to do within that. A lot of early morning starts and putting out an awful lot of equipment, mannequins, poles, markers. We look as if we're landing planes here in Dingwall at times. It looks like a bit of a runway when we're set up. But the overview, the visual of it's terrific. And as I say, the players have been very receptive to it. We know that that'll run a course. We know that we won't be looking to do that for hopefully, you know, 7.5 weeks until we get to that first game. So I think we all know that there's hopefully an announcement coming from the government on Thursday whereby we would hope, if everything's okay, we would hope that we're getting to a stage of being able to go into full contact, which is obviously dependent on being able to test your players and ensure that we're hopefully returning negative outcomes on the COVID test. And at that point, we virtually, Ryan, go back into a kind of normal training regime, we hope. But again, we have a sort of plan A and a plan B based on this. I've literally just had a meeting with the staff there, the football staff, and we're targeting sessions for Friday if it's a full contact session. But again, that's going to be from the guidelines of the government. So we may have to alter that. And we have, as I say, we have that plan B up our sleeve to make sure that we can try and alter around whatever scenario we're faced with. And I think that that's massive for all football clubs, if I'm being honest with you. I've touched on it in the press over the last week that I think really from the early stages of what was coming from COVID-19, we'd made peace with the fact that there was a real strong percentage that we wouldn't complete last season and we would have to find a solution in trying to get into the new season at the earliest opportunity. So I think what that's done for us is allowed us a period of time to be proactive in our thinking and, you know, the implications that that's going to have in the finances of the football club, how we can try and alter around that. And as I say, how we can try and make what's a bad situation for the entire world, how we can try and turn that into a slight positive for ourselves. And hopefully not just sit there and wait and see what our fate's going to be, but ultimately try and take control of our own destiny. That's the plan for us. That's what we've mapped out. And we don't feel as if we've left any stone unturned in the process. So we're not asking for a pat on the back, but I think in order to try and take a football club forward in such a challenging time, we're going to have to think outside the box and we're going to have to be really proactive in our thinking and deal with the hits that are inevitably going to come our way to try and get the best outcome.
I mean, that training environment that you've just outlined there, Stuart, with the way things are now, obviously must be, you know, a far cry from the way things were, you know, when you left the building on March the 13th. But you know, for the players and the coaching staff, you know, just how beneficial has it been, you know, just to get the guys back into some form of training, just in order that you can be ready for, obviously, that move into full contact when it does eventually come?
I think it puts us in a position where everyone was desperate to get back involved in football. I know a lot of people in different industries were desperate to get back to their trade. We're no different. There's obviously been I suppose we feel slightly guilty at times when the sole focus at times is football and how we're going to get football started in such a challenging period of time. But as I say, that is our industry. One of the factors that we acknowledge is the mental health aspect of professional athletes, people working within the football industry. And I think sometimes the best medicine is to come back together, albeit at times from a distance. But we've had a couple of scenarios where at a distance we've had great interaction between our players and our staff. And as I say, that is a thing that we're mindful of as a football club is the longer that 13, 14 weeks goes on, people really miss their job, because we believe we've got the best job in the world in being a professional athlete and being involved in the football industry. And I think you really start to miss it. I know from my own point of view, you really start to miss the day-to-day of what you're tasked with in football. So from our point of view, Andy, just whatever that was going to look like to begin with, getting back to the training pitch was the priority for us in a safe environment to ensure that we could try and get that sort of that connection, that chemistry between our staff, our players, to ensure that we can try and at least have a strand to build on, because it has been so difficult. And like I say, I think that's the best medicine for a lot of people. We have guys that stay in the Highlands and stay themselves and haven't had much contact or company over that period of time. So again, I can only comment on what's happened here. We've literally had guys skipping onto the training pitch, delighted to be back, even though it might be for a shorter period of time. And as I say, they're not in that full contact. But certainly from that mental side of things, you know what it's like. Players start to doubt themselves over 13, 14 weeks if you haven't kicked a ball. You start to, the mind's a devil's playground is one of the quotes that we use sometimes. You start to doubt what your credentials are as a player. So the sooner we can get them back on the pitch, we can start to see where we are physically, mentally. And obviously for us, it's to go and work in that technical and tactical aspect of the game at the earliest opportunity. We now want to go and formulate a plan of how we're going to play in the Premier League next season.
I've been doubting my own ability for a lot longer than 14 weeks, I tell you that, Stuart. anyway, the full contact sort of ruling that you're talking about, are you hopeful that within that there'll be the ability to maybe play some behind closed doors kind of friendlies with maybe other Premiership teams? I know down in England that a lot of the sort of top flight and the Championship teams are able to sort of have these little bounce games just to get themselves ready before the competitive action starts, and so they're not having to do one of their 11s against a 11 of reserve players or whatever.
Yeah, that's something we're fully intent on, Ryan. Again, we'll be led by the outline of the government legislation. What the government's outlining to us will have a big bearing on whether we're able to go in and play friendly matches. But again, just to give you that same kind of idea of how we've been looking at it today, again, it's been another day of looking into what these options might be, what potential dates we're looking at, where can we go, who can we play against. I think there'll be an element for us of playing that sort of scenario where you talk about an 11v11 coming from your own club, potentially using some of your younger players within that 22 players. That's something we've looked into, and we know we can facilitate that here at the club just now. What we would like to do is try and branch out, whether that be inviting one or two clubs to come and play here in Dingwall, or whether that be us travelling to go and face opposition that will prepare us for a league campaign. And we're in the process of working away with a tool. I think it was in the press just recently. Transfer room is something that we've started using, which is again being kind of put in line with the COVID situation, where it's not as easy for any one of us to travel about and certainly can't be out looking at players just now. So it is a form of a recruitment tool, but there's also some other factors that fall in within that as well. And organising friendly matches, we've already had a couple of requests from other clubs to see if we can set up a friendly match down south. Now, we can't do that right this second, but we would be hopeful if things continue to improve that maybe that's something we can look at further down the line. And again, it's just a great way of networking for us and connecting with other football clubs during this tough time to make sure that we can try and prepare our players the best possible way we can for getting into a league season. Because again, it would be a challenge. We would make it work, but for us to go and try and map out sort of four, five, six bounce games purely to set us up for a league season would be a real challenge. I know we'd be all coming off the same page on that front, but if there's another option there for us, we're certainly going to exercise that option and see if it's achievable for us.
No trip to Holland this year, I take it, Stuart?
No trip to Holland, which means that Andy Skinner will be safe and sound this year. He was in plaster. One day I seen him, he was absolutely fine. The next again day, I think he'd been run down by a Dutch cyclist and he was in, that arm was fully in plaster. So you're safe this year, Andy. You'll be good. You'll be happy to know that.
I know, walking wounded this year.
For a tenner, Andy will take that out of the edit.
It's all been out there.
So, Stuart, in terms of setting an objective for next season, in any competition, is it really difficult at the moment because you don't because of the difference in the circumstances for pre-season, in terms of player recruitment, as you've touched on, and I'm sure we'll come back to that, it's just so different from what you're used to that it must be impossible to compare it to other years and try and almost set a target to do better than other years, if you know what I mean.
It's probably an easy one for me, in all honesty, Ryan. I think Andy's listened to me over the last couple of years, and at no point have we ever come out and told anybody what we're going to do. And I think that that's pretty important. I think that we've always kept our goals in-house. We've always, our players are crystal clear on what we expect from them and what we think they can achieve. Our staff are on the same page. I think what we've been wary of is maybe at times just getting a little bit carried away, or we hear people telling us that they're going to be getting into Europe and they're going to be doing this, that and the next thing, which is fine. Everybody has their own remit. Everybody has their own opinion on how that should work. You rightly say that it'll be difficult to map that out exactly off the back of what we're going to face in the next few weeks and months. But from us, we've always had a general consensus that we will map out our ambitions. I think last year we said that we were fully intent on staying in the division. First and foremost, that'll be where we go again next year. That's the first protocol. Do we think we could build on that? Do we think we could improve? Of course we do. I don't think we'd be here doing this job if we were just quite happy to sit and say that we were going to finish in the same position in the league every year. But I think ultimately, Ross County, and we have to be realistic of where we are playing against big city clubs. You know, it looks as if we lose Hearts this season, but they're replaced by a big club in Dundee United. So you're obviously facing a lot of these big city clubs, which is a real challenge. And we've always punched above our weight. It has to be said, we always feel we're coming from a small town like Dingwall. We are continuously punching well above our weight. We've been well supported. We've been well backed by our chairman. That much is true for a number of years. That's absolute fact. But again, we're not going to necessarily map out that exact specific position in the league that we believe we're going to finish in. As I say, I just think you set yourself up for a big fall, or you may be sort of undercutting yourself in terms of what you're asking for. But we always feel that we put some real challenges to our players that are realistic. They are achievable, but at times they're also ones that might blow other people away. And so again, I say, being promoted from the Championship two seasons ago there, a lot of people would have bet against it, I dare say, because it's not very common that you're able to come straight back up from a relegation. So there have been factors there where you feel as if you stretch the boundaries, and we'll do the same again this year. But the players will know it categorically, and it certainly won't come from us shouting our mouth off and telling everybody what we can and can't do. We feel that that's important and it fits in with what we do at the football club.
Stuart, obviously you didn't quite get the chance to finish the full Premiership season last year, but how beneficial was it to have that experience of being back in the Premiership, looking ahead to next season? I mean, you obviously, one of the most recent outings that you had was a very impressive win at Pittodrie, for example. How good was it to sort of get a feel for going back to these sort of bigger grounds and kind of rediscovering what it what it takes, you know, to perform at these kind of venues?
No, I think it's great from our point of view. We obviously want that seat at the top table. We want to be mixing it with the big guns on a weekly basis. We want to be going to the Pittodrie's, Ibrox, Parkheads. That's for us. We've had a real good taste of that over the last 6-7 years. So from that point of view, it was massive for us to get back there and experience that and show signs of success within it as well, which I firmly believe we were able to do. I think a little bit of frustration comes from not obviously finishing the campaign, and there's a number of clubs that will say exactly the same as us. I think we all feel the same. I'd read one or two bits in the press that were saying that Ross County would be breathing a sigh of relief in the sense that we were guaranteed of staying in the Premier League and the season was cut short by 8 games for us. I can assure you it was the polar opposite. We were itching to get going. We were desperate to finish the league campaign off. And I think simply because the records would show you that our record against the bottom six clubs was very good. I think, it was the best in the bottom six clubs against one another. Our record was very, very good over the course of the season. Where we found it difficult and probably what was the learning curve was playing against the sort of top six sides. And again, I believe we were gradually improving with the games against the Old Firm, the games against the likes of Aberdeen, we were starting to improve. We were starting to figure out how exactly we should approach these games. But I can genuinely say that our players were the same. I've had a conversation with most of them regarding this exact topic, and I think the guys were itching to go and try and fulfil the full fixture calendar because we genuinely believed that we could have amassed some more points. We believed that we could have thrown in another few good victories that would have capped off a pretty decent season for us. So there was frustration from us. Now, of course, you go and speak to our Hearts or other clubs and they would paint a different picture, and Hearts would probably say that they felt they could have got out of the relegation zone. We'll never know is the honest answer to that. And my opinion really doesn't count. I've been crystal clear on this one over the piece that whatever I think within this situation, whether it be restructuring, whether it be the final 8 games of the season, you know, how we should take the Scottish game forward, I've always believed that it's certainly not down to my opinion. Yes, we all have a voice and we have an opinion on it, but I genuinely believe that we had to come to the most logical outcome, and we had to come to a solution whereby hopefully we could protect the status of all 42 clubs in Scotland. Now, I know that opens up a completely different can of worms and a different topic, which we could all speak about for hours and hours. But I believe that we find ourselves in a situation where this has now been made, the decision has now been made, and I think we all now have to accept it. And like I said to you right at the start of speaking to you guys, that we've been trying to make peace with that for not just a matter of weeks, but probably a couple of months to try and say, right, what is the decision going to be? I touch on the fact that the criticism the SPL faced and they encountered. I happen to believe that the SPFL were trying to give clubs as much of an opportunity as they could to plan for the future and deal with the consequences of what's happening in the world today. Whether that was done correctly or whether there was conversations had that maybe shouldn't have been, it's absolutely nothing to do with me, if I'm being brutally honest. But I genuinely do believe that getting to that point of a decision as quick as possible, making peace with what was happening, was probably going to give us all the best opportunity to try and move forward.
I liked you suggesting that we could talk about this for hours. Don't get me wrong, this podcast, it's all we talk about, bloody restructuring. You touched on learning to play against the likes of Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen over the course of the season. When you say that, do you think early in the campaign you were perhaps guilty of sticking to your attacking principles a bit too much? Is that what you're sort of getting at?
Yeah, well, listen, I think when you've been used to winning games of football, as we were in the Championship, then that obviously creates a habit within your group. You believe you can win every game of football, which is a brilliant feeling to have. It's a really good feeling to have. In terms of whether you can constantly take that on, whether you can continually think that way in the Premier League when you face the certain opposition is obviously another thing altogether. I think from us, it was just trying to refine our approach at times. We still believed that we had goals in our team that would always keep us in the division, and I suppose ultimately that proved the case. But I think the evolution of our team and where we want to go next with it would certainly be to iron out some of those goals that we lost, which we feel were preventable. I think we have to ensure the facts don't lie. We had the worst defensive record in the division by a decent distance. So from my point of view, and obviously taking on the sole manager role, and whether it was co-managers or sole manager, then we know the game of football and we understand what our deficiencies were. And it's important that we try and address that in the coming season. That what starts over pre-season. We have to make sure that we can address that in pre-season and try and rectify that situation. If we were to go in and think we could approach it the exact same way, we'd be naive, because I believe you would get the same outcome. So we have to just be kind of forward thinking, and most importantly is doing what with the players on the pitch. Most importantly, it's spending time with your players on the pitch to eradicate these mistakes, addressing the issues we faced. But there's always a trust in your players. I think it's clear to see that we're a couple of positions short as well, a couple of them across the back. So it's important now that we do go and do our homework and hopefully recruit the correct personnel to fit into those slots and see if we can try and address that situation. But you know, we're not making a major drama of it, because like I already said, we do believe we scored enough goals to sort of counter that and keep ourselves in the division. But again, if we want to try and improve and take a stride forward next year, then we know where to start. And that's as a collective unit. That's not simply a finger being pointed at your back four or your goalkeeper. We certainly could defend better as a team and prevent opportunities and stop goals going in as a complete unit, as opposed to just three or four players.
From an attacking point of view, just how much are you looking forward to getting Ross Stewart back on the park again? Because obviously he missed, you know, a couple of months after the turn of the year, and particularly when you think of the, you know, the form that Billy Mackay put together in his absence, you know, is it quite an exciting prospect getting the two of them back, you know, on the park together to lead the line next season?
I think it's a really exciting part of our team. If I'm being honest with you, you can go through the four strikers that we have. We have young Ollie Shaw, who we brought in the last transfer window. Is now looking like he's about ready to totally settle into the team. It was obviously a challenging period when Ollie first came in. Billy Mackay started scoring goals, so his selection maybe wasn't as readily available for him, and the opportunities maybe weren't as readily available for him as he might have hoped. Lee Irwin, for me, has come back at the start of pre-season here. He looks as if he's in the best condition I've seen him in. He's worked exceptionally hard over the last 13, 14 weeks. And then you look at the two guys that you've touched on there, Ross Stewart and Billy Mackay. We know what we get off Ross Stewart and Billy Mackay. We know that they're a goal threat. We know with Billy's experience and obviously pretty much every box that Ross Stewart ticks in terms of his aerial ability, his touch, his finishing, his mobility, his pace to run in behind. He ticks so many boxes and has so much trust from us in playing in a couple of different positions as well. So I genuinely believe that forward area has brilliant competition for places. I believe that there are goals in amongst those four guys. And I also think that they all have a different, slightly different remit and a slightly different profile, whereby we could mix and match any one of the or any two of the four and have a really good combination and a variety of formations as well. So that was always the intention with having these four guys. And I think, as I say, that they're now all looking fit and well. And we look forward to the next 7 weeks or so working with them and hopefully trying to build up their confidence, which is vital for forward players, to see if we can get them to hit the ground running when the season starts.
Stuart, Andy did an interview with Stephen Ferguson earlier in the week where Stephen talked about how difficult it's been for you guys when you were co-managers to dedicate the necessary time with things like recruitment, because obviously you've got commitments on the training pitch and things like that, and he is now going to be able to dedicate more time to maybe doing a bit more of the background on players that you could potentially get up to Dingwall. How difficult has it been for both of you over the last couple of seasons when you've been looking to add players to really kind of make sure you're getting, I suppose, the best player out there and you're looking at all the options, things like that?
I think it's probably the actual process itself, Ryan, is a challenge. With myself and Stephen, we didn't have the benefit of a full-time head of recruitment or anything like that, you know, so there wasn't that one guy working in the background to see if he could make connections with other players and agents and find out if the right profile of player was out there for us. So again, that was all incorporated in our working day, being on the pitch, working in so many different environments within the football club over a range of, you know, your academy, your first team group. We were probably stretching ourselves right across the full range at the football club. So, like I said earlier on, I believe that this streamlines things a little bit. That connection between myself and Stephen, it'll come down to the fact that, obviously, I believe we need a particular player that'll be involved in a conversation with the coaching staff, that'll be involved in a conversation with Stephen. And then we pretty much have Stephen's expertise and the dealings he's had in the transfer market over the last few seasons. We'll now be more focused and there can be more time spent on speaking to directly to other clubs and other decision makers to see if we can try and get the right personnel and the right player into the football club. I think we've done pretty well over the last couple of years. When you look at the player you're speaking about just now, Ross Stewart was somebody that had no Premier League experience really when he came to us, and we've seen him flourish over the last couple of seasons. He's just getting better and better by the day. Every day you look at him, you feel as if he is improving. With some other young, exciting guys in our group, we've promoted young Josh Reid from our academy into the first team group. That's a slightly different scenario, obviously, coming from our academy, but it's certainly a good story. And young Josh is taking to it really well in the first few days. Guys like Tom Grivosti, who has been injured, but certainly had excited many of our supporters in the time he's been on the pitch with the first team. Same with guys like Harry Payton. So there are some young players there. We have been able to do some really good business with some experienced guys as well. I think solely for us, it was more that longevity of this process and trying to streamline it, because we believe we have got good players here. We believe we can add to that. We can put another few in there to help the guys that are already there. And I think that the process and the structure we have now probably enables us to do that a little bit easier than the way Stephen and I were doing it. Albeit we do believe we had some success in it.
How hopeful are you of adding? You mentioned the fullback position was one that that you're kind of needing to strengthen just now with the players that have left. Are you confident that you can add to that in the sort of near future?
Yeah, listen, we're working tirelessly on it just now. We're speaking to people several times a day. We're really proactive and trying to be one of the clubs that's maybe not sitting suggesting that we're interested in players. We're firmly going in with offers for players. And again, the chairman's allowed us to go into a position where we know that we're short in a couple of areas on the pitch. For us, the ideal way would be to get players in at the soonest opportunity so as we can work with them in the pitch. If we're moving them from a different area, it allows them just to integrate into the Highlands and the way of life here, which I think is really important as well. I think we would get the best version of the player once they're settled in and they feel comfortable in their environment. So, yeah, again, I'll stress we are working tirelessly on that at the minute. We're trying to identify, and we have identified our key targets and people we really want to try and see if we can take it on to the next stage. And I would be hopeful that certainly within the next 7 days that we might be able to announce a couple of new signings. I don't want to get too carried away, but certainly where the work is and the way some of the conversations have went, then it would suggest that we might be around about that area. And that'll be good. That'll be a little boost for the squad. But also, as I say, important that we identify the right criteria and the right personality to play in our team and to integrate into what we believe is an already very good changing room. We believe we've got the nucleus, a really good changing room there, and we need to make sure that we pick off people that are prepared to buy into that and invest in that.
Obviously, with Marcus Fraser leaving, the captaincy is an area that you'll obviously need to fill. Are there a few contenders there that you're considering handing the armband to?
Yeah, I think we have some really strong leaders in our group. We've got some real good experience. There's a couple of different ways of looking at it. I look at myself. I was handed the opportunity as a young lad, albeit in the third division at Queen's Park, I think, as a 20-year-old or something like that, to be captain and enjoyed a couple of really successful years there in doing so. So there's a couple of ways of looking at it. We've obviously got experienced guys there that have been over the course. There's other aspects of looking at it, and literally I've not made a decision on it. I know it's an integral part of a team, and it's something that we put a lot of emphasis in here. Marcus Fraser done a terrific job of it at our football club. And a lot of that work comes off the pitch as well. It's a lot of how you speak to your teammates and how you're able to merge between your dressing room and the management structure at the football club, how you deal with the community. As you know, Andrew, that's a massive part for us in terms of being out there in the community and portraying the appropriate message for the club. So that person is an integral part for us. And as I say, there's a couple of different ways that we can look at it and a couple of candidates that we can look at. But either way, I think whoever we hand that to, we obviously believe will be the right person to do the job. But there still goes with a real emphasis on the rest of the group and the rest of the experience we have in the group to support that captain, but also to be captains and or lieutenants, I suppose, in their own way. To ensure that we have the correct leadership in our dressing room. And something myself and Stephen done over the last couple of years that I really believe in, I don't believe it's a manager's place to be in and around that dressing room on a daily basis. I believe that's the players' environment, and I believe that they should police it and run it the way they see fit. And we sort of had that that group of players that were sort of empowered to run the dressing room. You know, when I look at the experience we had and guys like Don Cowie, who now comes into the coaching staff, but Liam Fontaine, Marcus Fraser, Ian Vigers, Michael Gardine, you know, you go through the list, Ross Draper, Billy Mackay, these guys all have strong personalities in different ways, and they certainly were the ones that sort of run the dressing room, but also give clear a pathway for the younger guys that I mentioned a few minutes ago, obviously to thrive and develop their character as well. So these are definitely things we've thought long and hard about so far. But sometimes that side of things becomes more apparent when you're on the pitch again, which we are. So once we get the guys back in, hopefully once we complete our recruitment process, then you get to take that step back and have a look at it and see what the correct fit will be. And, you know, sometimes guys enjoy being leaders without being the captain as well and without having the responsibility of actually being the captain. So they're all things that we'll consider when we're making a decision.
You touched on the chemistry between the dressing room and, you know, the manager there, Stuart. I was just sort of keen to ask about, you know, your own influences as a player. And, you know, was there a certain point where you kind of decided that management was something that you wanted to pursue, you know, just in terms of experiences that, you know, you happened across during your playing career?
Yeah.
You know, has this been, you know, quite a long time in the making for you?
Yeah, I think I'm probably one of these weird guys, and I'm not trying to pitch myself up there above the rest. I'd actually been sort of, even from my early days, I'd always been somebody that would come back with a notebook and scribble down sessions that I'd took part in, and drop sizes of sessions and maybe variations that I like and ways of playing that I like. I'm forever involved in discussions of, you know, football that we've watched in the telly. So to be honest with you, Andy, I think that I was probably one of those guys from an early age that thought I definitely would like to go down a coaching route. And then as time goes on, I don't think you officially know it until you actually start coaching, but as soon as I was given the opportunity to coach the under-20s at Ross County, I pretty much knew that I would love to have an opportunity to be a manager. I would love to I would love the responsibility. I would love the opportunity to see if you could try and develop a team, a style of play, a culture. I've known that for a long time, to be honest. I knew as a player that was a route I would invest a lot of time in. I would dedicate a lot of time in. But as I say, I probably don't believe you know what pathway you're going to take until you actually start coaching. I've seen guys that have started coaching and you maybe pitch it at a reserve level when they start to think, no, in actual fact, I enjoy working with younger kids. I feel as if I have a great impact with younger kids. I was probably the other side of it when I started working with the under-20s. My first couple of days were working with first-team players, pretty much chucked in at the deep end with guys that were on their way out of Ross County and were asked to train with the reserve squad, the under-20 squad. So for that point of view, that's as challenging a period as you're going to get with guys that are disgruntled, that maybe feel that they don't have a future at the club. So right away for me, I had to kind of land on my feet pretty quickly and deal with a lot of situations to the point where you're telling players that they're not going to be detrimental to the session you're putting on for your younger players and almost sort of drawing that line in the sand. I've had huge influences throughout my career and people that I've worked with that have created strong bonds with, managers, coaches. I always say Stephen was a huge influence on me as a coach when I was a player. And then sitting in an office with him for a number of years as members of staff at the football club, done nothing but pick his brain and take bits from him. I hope he'd done the same with me. I think he'd probably suggest that he has done, but I think those challenges that we had on one another on a daily basis, and I just think that was a huge influence. And even at times, managers that you didn't think you particularly got on well with, and guys that you maybe didn't see eye to eye with, it's not you sit on this side of the fence, which I am now, and you look and you understand why they spoke to a player a particular way or why they made a decision that they made. I think when you have that player's head on, you can't see the woods from the trees, so to speak. You find it flabbergasting that a manager's made the call he's made. But as I say, I think over the last couple of years, I've now been able to find a system of understanding why so many managers made certain decisions or spoke the way that they did. And of course, you take good bits from them all and you take bad bits. Another massive influence for me is somebody that I always tell people about was Billy Stark. Was just an unbelievable influence on me. So many his methods and his way of thinking I use to this day. And that was a long time ago that I worked with Billy, or the gaffer, as I still like to call him when I see him. But my goodness, what a clever, very, very forward-thinking type of coach he was. Believed in playing young players. Built a squad at Queen's Park where he just gave a group of young players an opportunity to find, I've said it a few minutes ago, find their own character, find their own way in the game, give them a freedom to play, put demands on them. Didn't rule with an iron fist, didn't scream and bawl, but commanded respect by talking to people properly, by turning up at my 21st birthday and being the first guy through the door with a present with his wife. All these little things that you hear from top managers and how they speak to the kit lady, to the woman serving your food or whatever, you know, finding out about people within your football club. So again, those personal skills, those people skills were something for me, the likes of Stevie Ferguson and Billy Stark had in spade loads, but also that knowledge for the game, how they were able to incorporate it with the game was good. And then you look at guys like Derek Adams, the success we had here with Derek and probably a kind of shoestring budget was absolutely brilliant. Did I see eye to eye with him every day of my life? Definitely not. But they have a huge amount of respect for the work he'd done and what he achieved and the opportunities I was given here, without a doubt. And Derek's probably one of the ones that at the time I maybe didn't appreciate a lot of the stuff he was doing. And I would suggest in the best possible way, a lot of what Derek done was to provoke you, to get the best out of you, which again I look at now and say that it was absolutely brilliant for the success that we had at the football club over that period of time was just unbelievable. I don't think you could have written the script. And I've dealt with some real disciplinarian, hard men, and the likes of John Browns in this world, Kenny Branigans, but guys that have had a massive impact on me as a person, you know, shooting straight from the hip and ensuring that you're able to deal with adversity, able to deal with the truth, and sometimes coming across in a different manner. But again, huge amount of respect for these guys. Jimmy Caldwell, I need to mention as well, that for me was terrific. He wasn't at Ross County for a long period of time, but I developed an absolutely brilliant bond with him. And just a wee acknowledgement to him. I know he's not keeping great health, but I still keep in contact with son Scott. So obviously our thoughts and are with Jimmy at this time, but he was just probably didn't get the credit for the football brain he had and the experiences he'd had in places like Holland. I thought he changed an outlook in the game for me. So again, I'm prattling on with everybody that I've worked with, but you can see quite clearly that each one of these guys have had a stamp on me. And then when I look at the likes of Owen Coyle and Jim McIntyre, from a coaching point of view, and being a coach at the club, there's obviously masses that you take from these guys as well. And again, I know it wasn't a hugely successful period with Owen, but I still keep in contact with him, very, very, very supportive. He's always sending a message when anything happens. And Jim McIntyre had he won a national trophy with Ross County. And you know what? Gave me an opportunity to try and progress my career as a coach, and was a was a great sounding board for me. So, as I say, I can't speak highly enough of all these guys, but in completely different ways. And when you go through that list that I've just mentioned there, probably missed a few out as well, but when you go through that list I've mentioned there, each one of these guys are totally different people and deliver their message in a completely different way. But I think for me, to evolve as a coach or a manager, it's important you take aspects from each one of them and try and process it into your own personality and your own characteristics.
Right, Stuart, that's as nice a note as any to finish on, I think, for the aspiring managers of this world. That concludes today's episode of Northern Goal. If you've got any questions, please email them to northerngoal@dctmedia.co.uk. Thanks, of course, to Andy and our guest, Stuart Kettlewell, for joining me today. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And we'll be back with another episode on Tuesday. Until then, please stay safe. See you later. Hope you loved the episode. And if you did, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to pick up your copies of the Press and Journal and Evening Express every day for the best football writing and analysis in the North.